Matthew 6. Not really. That's all right. We're through fasting. You can eat this week. Amen. Yes, I've been having a good time anyhow. Maybe boring, but I've been having a good time. Very, very good time. What's great about it is the things that the Bible teaches you, you can actually institute in your own lives. That's what's awesome. This isn't things that are written years and years and years ago that you mean nothing to you today.
The Bible is good today just like it was good back then. It's one of the only books that can do that for you. You can go ahead and read it, and it's just as important today. It's just as prudent today.
It's just as interesting today as it's ever been. And I'm excited about that I have a Savior that's just the same way. He's still alive today. We're going to be celebrating Resurrection Sunday next week, and we're excited about that. But I'm going to be honest with you, he's been alive all those years. We celebrate his life, and I'm glad that the world pitches in and goes to church one day a year. It's exciting to know that. And I'm excited that this church is going to be filled from front to back, from side to side. And I'm glad that they're going to be hearing about our wonderful Savior. Because that Savior is still powerful today. That Savior is still alive today. That Savior's blood still saves today. There's nothing old about him, and it's just been wonderful knowing that we can serve an almighty God that's still almighty. I'm excited about that. We're going to learn today about treasures. We talked the last couple of weeks about fasting. And as you look in the scriptures, when you read in verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, we learn that you ought not do those things just like anything else. It's an attitude adjustment that the Lord was trying to give them throughout this entire sermon. Is an attitude adjustment of who do you want to be before God?
That's basically what it's asking.
I get the chance to preach chapel to the kids this last week. And it's interesting that the Bible says, everything you do, do for the glory of God. It also says in Romans 12:1, that present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I told the kids, if you had to stop today and offer what you've done for Christ, or offer what you lived for Christ, or offer how you run your lives, if you had to offer that, if you had to lay that down at the Lord's feet today, if you had to offer your living sacrifice to the Lord today, what would your offering look like? I didn't have any amens there, and I'm glad. Because I was having a hard time amen, and while I was preaching it, while I was telling these kids, because I was talking to them about their grades, okay, and about the effort, not necessarily the grade. I don't have to have the kid get an A. I understand that. It's not about that. I want the effort. I want to know, what did you offer to go towards this test? Well, then I got to preaching a little bit. What did you offer to Christ this week? What was your offering? What was your living sacrifice? What did you bring to him? Do all things as you were doing them to God. Do all things. God. And I got to thinking about that with the fasting that we were talking about, and it's been in my mind ever since I preached on Friday. It's been in my mind because I've wondered day after day after day when I go, what do I think about? What is my heart attitude? And it's literally an attitude change in your life. We claim salvation, we hold on to salvation, and we grab it as though it's something that we deserve. We grab all the salvation as well, the Lord saved me because he ought to. If you think about that, the Bible tells you to have your body as a living sacrifice presented unto him. I've had a lot of wasted days, my friend. I've had a lot of wasted days, a lot of wasted moments. I understand that our flesh is weak. I understand those things. When I thought about it, when I go to meet him, and there's going to be a day when we will meet him, whether it be in the rapture or in our death. If you're saved in here today, you're going to see the nail-pierced hands. If you're saved in here today, you're going to get to see the refining fire eyes. If you're saved in here today, you're going to get to see the hem of that garment. If you're saved in here today, you're going to see extended arms. If you're saved in here today, eventually you'll see those streets of gold. And we're going to talk about treasures, and I got to thinking about these treasures. We're going to talk about the crowns Now, we're not going to talk about those today. We're just going to go over the first part of it, and the crowns have nothing to do with Matthew, but that's all right. I'm having fun. And we're going to talk about the crowns that we can get as Christians, the crowns that someday we'll be able to lay at the feet of our Savior. And I thought about that when I go to my Lord and I go to my Savior. I've said this often. I believe I'm going to continue to say that. I don't know that I'll be able to look him in the eye. I don't know. I believe I'll be on my knees crying in shame. Lord, I'm so sorry for the things that I did not do. I'm so sorry for the wasted years. And I believe even through all that sobbing and all that being ashamed and all those things, the Lord is going to lower his hand to me and say, get thee up. What a Savior. He's going to say, get thee up, because my son, you truly were my treasure. And as I was speaking to the kids, I was saying, the Lord loved you enough to give his only begotten son as a payment for you and for me. And it got me thinking differently about the steps that I take, about the words that I say, about the deeds that I do as an offering to him. He said, even if you bring a cup of water to the least of these, it's like you've brought it to me. What have I done for the least of them today? What is my offering today? If I had to sum up my life and present it to my Savior as an offering, what would it be? And on the other side of being ashamed of what I would bring, I know that my Savior would say, come on in, son. At the very least, he's going to say, come on in, son. I bought you. He may not be able to utter the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He may not be able to utter those for me. He may be able to utter them for you, but I don't know about me. But I know this. He's going to say, please come. Please come. Glory to God. What a day that's going to be. All the things that we have in front of us today, all the things that are coming down the stream, all the things that we hear, all the things that we know are coming. Brother Mark just showed me a paper today. This guy knows for sure he's coming May 11th, 2011. Glory to God. I know for sure. Well, the one thing I know for sure, he's not coming on that day. Because the Lord's not going to let some yahoo have his glory. He's not going to do that. So quit claiming the days, man. I want him to have one. The Lord's going to come as a thief in the night. I've preached this over and over, but it's true. I mean, I know we know that it's coming, amen. But we're still going to be shocked when it does. Think about that for a minute. All of a sudden, you're going to be walking down the road, and all of a sudden, you're... It really did happen. Wow! I thought about this, and we'll get to the lesson here in a minute. I've just been so excited over the week because I had kids that come to me after that service that I preached to them and said, man, brother, I wish you would have preached that on Monday. I would have studied hard for my exam throughout the week. Well, glory to God, you rascal, start studying now. I got to thinking about this throughout the week. I got so excited. The wise men brought to him gifts, right? Remember what they were? Gold, frankincense, myrrh. It's totally off subject, but I'm having fun. Think about what they brought him. The Lord came down from heaven. We brought him gold. Are you thinking with me? The Lord came down from heaven, stood at the portals of heaven on... Glory to God. We brought him pavement. Turn in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. We'll get started. Brother Bud, it's good to see you, sir. Very good to see you. Could you lead us in prayer this morning, please?
Amen. Thank you, sir. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Now I want to look at these first two verses, because this is the one thing that occupies more of our time and more of our thought processes than just about anything else. What we have, or what we do not have and wish we did. Those treasures that we talk about, those treasures, and the reason that I brought up the wise men to you is this. When we get to heaven, we will be walking streets of gold. When we get to heaven, we will be standing in walls, standing in a place where literally it's so beautiful and so wonderful that the treasures that we work so very hard to get down here will literally be construction material there. We work so very diligently to make ourselves have worth and have wealth, and I don't believe that there's anything wrong with those things as long as you keep them in perspective to what Jesus Christ has told us to do. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The Bible says to lay up treasures that you can put in heaven. I got to thinking about that. There's got to be a way then, in my opinion, that the Bible teaches that we can lay up treasures in heaven because it commands us to do that very thing. It commands us not to lay up them here because you have gold in store and you have these diamonds or whatever you have in store. It's not doing very much for the Lord's work being in store. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Now, yes, I think you should have your nest egg. I think you should be ready to retire. I don't think any man needs to live in poverty. I think that a man should live and work hard and be able to claim those things that he's got. I don't believe that any man should be a sluggard or any man should be a lazy guy, or I don't think there's anything wrong with having a house or anything wrong with having a car or anything wrong with having those things. I think that's foolish preaching. I think that's foolish teaching. And I've heard that teaching before. Well, if you're a real Christian, you live in poverty. That's hogwash. Don't believe that for 1 minute. The Lord said He's going to provide your needs, and I believe that He wants to bless us in special ways. How would it be if every Christian that was here was poor and had nothing? Because that makes no sense. God said He would provide for us. He spoiled the Egyptians and gave the Israelites wonderful things from the Egyptians. Nothing wrong with having things. It's the perspective that we hold the things that's the difference. The ability to realize that what we have here is not going to go with you there. That's, I believe, what the Lord is trying to teach you. Well, I'm going to lay up and accumulate a wonderful, wonderful amount of wealth. Bill Gates, when he dies, if he's not saved, he's going to go to hell. Doesn't matter what Microsoft does. He won't be able to click a button to get him to heaven. He won't be able to get a word processor fast enough that gets him to heaven. He won't be able to do that. He's got to accept the Lord Jesus Christ no matter how much money he has. That's not the issue. The issue is, what does he feel about his money? What does he feel about his treasures? I believe that somebody that's very wealthy, and the Bible talks about this, and I'll show you examples of a little bit later, and preachers take that out of context too, but we'll get to that in a minute. The Lord wants you to see that what you have waiting for you, and you need to know, oh man, you need to get this truth. What you have waiting for you is so much greater than what you could get for yourself here. Don't focus on the here, because this many years, I don't care how long you live 100 years, I hope you all do. But you could live 100 years, accumulate all that you got, and then when you get up there, it's not going to be worth anything, because you're going to be walking on that which you wished to obtain. We desperately desire to lay up for ourselves treasures here to make your... And there's nothing... Please don't misread me. There's nothing wrong with having money. I wish I had more of it. But the issue is, what do you feel about the money that you have? Do you have the money to get yourself stature? Do you have the money to show yourself as something more than you really are? How do you feel about your wealth? How do you feel about your home? How do you feel about those things? There's nothing wrong with having them. Is it in the right perspective? Is it in the right heart attitude? We, the Bible's teaching us not to work hard to have that stuff to get ourselves to feel better. It's telling you to work hard to get that stuff so you can do more for God and focus on the things of the kingdom of heaven. That's what it's teaching you there. I've heard messages that say it's not right for you to have money. That person that says that wishes he had some. It is something that you need to get by. It is something that you need to have. And the Lord will provide your needs. I believe that. But if you're going to be a lazy sluggard and not do a day's work in your life, why would the Lord provide your needs? That makes no sense. That's not true. That's not good preaching. I like a guy that works hard. He may not have everything, but he works hard. And a person that's willing to put in a day's work. And I'm not talking your 6 and 7 and 8 hour days. I'm talking you're willing to put in 10 to 12 to get what you need to get for your family to provide for them. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But you still have to keep in perspective what the Lord wants you to do with your life. What does the Lord want you to do? If you had to accumulate everything that you've got, that you've done for Christ, and you lay it at His feet, what would be there? Because you can't take your money with you to lay there. And by the way, what are you going to lay at the Lord's feet? Are you going to lay gold at His feet? There's already gold underneath Him. That's what got me to thinking. The wise men brought the best that we had. Think about that for a minute. What do you have? They brought the best that they had. Gold. Oh, I'd love to have some. That's all you hear on the news today. Gold. Got to buy gold. Gold. Gold standard. Everybody got gold. Buy gold. Gold. And the Lord's up in heaven going, pavement, pavement, pavement. What are they trying to get pavement for? Pavement, pavement. Send in your gold, your old, unwanted jewelry. Send it in. We'll send you a check for 35 cents. You'll see 800,000 commercials about that. For what? We literally hold in our hands paper. Paper. Your dollar bill is paper. You put a match to it, it'll burn. Lay not up for yourselves treasures, because when you go to meet Him, I don't care how fat your wallet is. That's not going to matter. Our attitudes towards Him are what matters. I can't express that to you enough. The way that you feel, the way that you talk, the way that you pray, the way that you think, the way that you focus, where your focus is, what you're thinking about. Our hearts, don't worry about what would Jesus do. What would you do for Jesus? That's just what's got to, what would Jesus do? You know what Jesus would do. He would do right. I don't know, what would Jesus do when you're thinking about something? What would you do for Jesus? You wouldn't have to come to that decision. What would you do for Jesus? That's what you got to think. I'm not talking about for Bethel Baptist Church. I'm not telling you to empty your wallets into these places. That's none of my business. What is my business? So is where your heart is at when it comes to your Savior. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on heaven, in earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. It's telling you they will corrupt it, and thieves will come in, and they will take it. Where do we spend our time? Think about this for a minute now. What do we decide to protect? That's the next thing. What do we decide to protect? Would we rather protect our testimony or our fortune? What would we hold more sacred? How people think about us and how we think of the Savior? Because it's easy to be Christian inside of Bethel Baptist Church. Right. But the minute we walk outside of there, you've got a testimony that's more important than gold that you take with you. Amen. And seeing you jamming to rock and roll music in your car is not something that Brother Dave wants to come across. Oh, music's okay, brother. Don't go on music. Think about your testimony now. You know that I'm right. Would it be good for you to go out and drink alcohol right after church? Because there's a testimony that you have to protect that's more important than gold. What do you have to offer Christ? See, Christ views you obeying Him worth more than all the gold that you could possibly have. You obeying Him is more important than any riches that you could ever have. Obeying Him is more important than any of the great and wonderful deeds that this world could give you. Obeying Him is the most important. What would you have to offer Him? Now, I want to turn to a couple scriptures. The Bible explains there's a couple of places that we can lay up treasures in heaven. There's a couple of places that we can go to learn about how to do this. If you turn to Matthew chapter 19... We're going to start in verse 16. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, the Bible says, "And behold, one came and said unto Him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And He said unto him, Why callest thou Me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Let's stop here for a second and think, talk about this verse. Brother Dave, wait, the Lord's saying, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. But the Lord, I don't understand that. Is he saying that he's not good? Have you ever had a teacher ask you what 2 plus 2 is when you're in school? And I was the dumb kid that says, well, you're the teacher. You know the answer. Why are you asking me? The Lord knew the answer to the question. Understand, there's nothing that ever occurred to God. Did you know that? The Lord knew the answer to the question. He's asking the man the question because he wants to get the man to understand. I am good because I am God. You ever had something hypothetical given to you because somebody else knows the answer? Look at what the Lord says here. The Lord says, why callest thou me good? If there is none good but one, that is God. Who was Jesus? He's saying, why do you call me good? If you're calling me good, Master, why are you calling me good? I want you to know that I'm God. I want you to see that I'm God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Look at what it says. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, it sounds like he's working his way to heaven. Amen. Hold on now. Hold on. Look at what it says. See, the great thing about reading the Bible is, and I love this, I'm a scripture nut. I really am. I'm not one of those guys that likes to give you a verse and that's it. And draw whatever conclusion I want to out of the verse that fits what I'm trying to tell you. The verse sits in the middle of a bunch of other verses. And those bunch of other verses explain to you. They work on each other, precept upon precept, line upon line. You've got to learn that the Bible is a context book. And look at what the Lord says. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? That's verse 20. He says, I've kept them all. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, if you look at the next verse, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then later on it talks about it's hardly shall a rich man enter into heaven. Talks about that, and people draw that way out of context too. If you're rich, you can't go to heaven. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Anybody can go to heaven. Whosoever will may come. It's a foolish teaching. I hear that a lot. Hardly shall they, because they trust in their riches. That's why. The Bible even explains that to you. And the Lord, well, Brother Dave, that means if I'm a good person, if I honor my father and mother, if I do all these things and then give away everything I've got and give to the poor, then that's telling me I can get to heaven? Is that what that's telling me? Is that what the Bible says there? Oh, man, that's what it's saying to me. And glory to God, that's what it's saying. That's not what that's saying to you. Because right after those things, the Bible says, come and follow me. See, what you've got to understand is this. There's nowhere in the Bible that tells you that works can get you anywhere. Nowhere. Matter of fact, it tells you you can't have works to get you to heaven. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, you know those verses. So you can't go into one chapter and say, well, it says no works, and then over here it says works. That doesn't work. The Lord is trying to teach this man that you feel as though you've done well, but you trust in your wealth, and because you trust in your wealth, you're not going to be able to come and follow me. Does not say that the boy came and followed him, by the way. It said he was sorrowful because he felt like, well, the Lord's asking me to give away everything that I have. No. The Lord was asking him to give him his heart. Think about that for a moment. The Lord wasn't asking him to give up his wealth. The Lord was asking him to give his heart. Because where your treasure is, the Lord was asking that young man that had great possessions. It's not the money that was keeping him from heaven. It's where his heart was that was keeping him from heaven. When we live our lives day to day to day, and in this whole Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is asking for an attitude change. In every part, I believe I've said that to you over and over and over again. Serving God is an attitude change. It comes from your heart. What you're doing for God is not a job. It is not a job. You don't serve God because it's a job. You serve God because it's a calling and an effort. It's something that is inside of you. It's your heart. Think about what matters to you. Think about it in your head, right? What matters to you? What is the one thing that matters to you? It could be money. What matters to you? Holding yourself upright. What matters to you? What matters to you every single day? Where is your heart? Because if you find out where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. The Lord says these things because He doesn't want you to get too attached to this old world. He doesn't want you to get too attached to all these things and miss all the wonderful blessings that God has out there. All the wonderful blessings, the treasures that you can eventually you're going to get to lay them at His feet. And we know, the Bible teaches that He's going to lay our works out and there's going to be a fire. Whatever's left. I thought about that for a minute. Man alive, what's going to be left after my bonfire? What's going to be left there? Where I serve God with a pure heart. Where I serve God with the right attitude. Oh, glory to God, I got to go to church again. There's been days I felt like that, my friend. There's been mornings when I've got up and it just really aches to get up. And my attitude was not where it should be. And it's those days, it's amazing. Those days, our God is so gracious. Our Savior is so wonderful. That it's those days when I come to God's house and I'm the most blessed. What a great Savior we have. See, what you got to understand is this. We bring Him junk, He gives us gold. We bring Him garbage, He brings us love. We bring Him disdain for coming to church and disdain for doing the things of God, and He gives us wonderful and merciful grace. We've got a Savior that does not pay us as we are owed. Because I got to be honest with you, we're owed nothing. See, we've got a Savior that says, lay not up your treasures in this earth. Don't try to bring all these things to you. Don't try to get your arms and gather together, because I'm going to be honest with you. There's going to be a day when you leave this old place. What you taking with you? Is there something up there that's waiting for you? Have you laid something up ahead? Have you done things? Here's the treasure, folks. This is really it. And we'll talk about crowns next week. But here's the treasure. And God can't think of a greater treasure than this one thing. As I studied, I could not think of another thing that the Lord could be possibly talking about. He's giving to the poor, that's not your treasure. Giving to the poor? No. Giving to the needy? Helping people? Is that the treasure? No. Right here. Right here. This is it. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. What do you have to offer God when you leave this place? Are you going to take along a list of the things that you've done for Him? Don't worry. He's got one there. You're going to take a list. I'm not talking about working your way to heaven. I'm talking about working because you're going there. I'm talking about working because you got your salvation. Don't look at James. James explains it very well. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Dead faith is still faith, by the way. Don't think for one minute that if you don't work, you're not going to heaven. No, that's not it. If you have faith in Christ, you're going to heaven. But because of that faith, you should want to work for Him. You should want to do something for Him. And it's not that you're going to do something out of I gave because the preacher told me to. I hear people all the time. Well, the Bible says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, so until I'm happy about it, I'm not putting anything in. It said the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The Lord commands you to be a tither. See, what's amazing is you won't even think about the money if your heart's right. Come on now. You won't think about serving God if your heart's right. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you're thinking ahead on the things that are in heaven, and what's waiting for you there? We don't have very much longer here. Yeah. We don't. The rapture, say the rapture doesn't come for another 200 years. Let's say this guy is dead wrong. Please understand. Please understand. Even if you live for another 50 years, you're going into eternity. You're going to look back at this time and you're going to say, good Lord, have mercy. That went by fast. I was talking to some of the teachers and I said, this school year has flown by. We're at the end of March. Glory to God. And I say that, glory to God. I mean, I'm going to have a Baptocostic fit over that. Your years, I'm 39. I'm almost 40. And I know, oh, you're just a young pup. You're just a young pup. But you think back, how long ago was 40 for you? Think about that for a minute. It wasn't that long ago, was it? I mean, some of you are 100 in here. And 40 still wasn't that long ago. You look back and you say, man, I remember when I was 40. I thought I was old. Remember those days? What is your life? Think about, according to the scripture, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Now, the reason that the Lord tells you that, listen to me now, listen to me. You don't have much time if you've got 100 years. Because what you do here for Him matters. But what you do here for yourself to Him matters not. Where your heart is, that is where your treasure is. Where's your heart today? There's no doubt in my mind. I don't care what anybody tells me. I'll never be taught different. Where your heart is, that's the treasure that the Lord wants. That's it right there. That's it. Because where your heart is, that's everything follows after the heart. You do what you want to do. You say what, oh, what, the devil made me do it. No, you did it. It's amazing. Well, I can't do that. I just can't. No, it's because you don't want to. Everybody does what they want to do. You want to go make a paycheck. What do? You go to work. You say you don't want to go to work, but you do want to go to work because you want to pay your bills. It fits with everything. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. So then I ask you this. What kind of heart today, if you got to offer it, and this is what I've been battling with, ever since I taught that chapel to the kids, because halfway through that chapel, I realized, man, you preaching to you. Boy, that's coming back off that back wall right at you real good, isn't it, preacher? What kind of heart, if I had to bring it to Him today, what kind of heart would I be offering to Him? What kind? There's been, I can't even count how many times I've prayed to the Lord, please change my heart. And I want you to hear this because I've always tried to be an honest preacher. I don't ever, listen, I am full of holes, full of holes. And I try to be honest with you because I think we're all fighting the same struggles here. For a man to stand up here and say, well, I'm not fighting any struggles. My life is fantastic. Lying. Many times I've asked the Lord to change my heart on things. Prayed to Him, oh God, please give me a greater burden for souls. How many have ever prayed that?
Amen.
Man, keep praying that. Because I'm going to tell you, this world grabs a hold of you. It really does. It grabs a hold of you and pulls you in and takes off the things that you would do for Christ. Boy, it clutters your life with things. And you forget what you're really here for. We forget that we're supposed to love each other. And as silly and foolish as that sounds, we really forget that we're supposed to love each other. Where's your heart? If your heart was on the things of heaven, somebody offended you, it wouldn't bother you that much. Because the Bible says, them that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. It says, if your heart is set on heaven, you'll maybe whistle a tune in the deepest, darkest of times. Lester Roloff used to say, don't sing in the day if you can't sing in the night. Remember Paul over and over again in jail. And Christians didn't go to pretty jail like we have today with cable television and three squares. Christians went to bad jail. And Paul's in there singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He's in there singing, oh, the love of God. How rich and pure, how measureless and strong. He's in jail singing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Where's your heart today? Where's our heart today? I can't see past the conspiracy theories. My heart is dwelling on what's going to happen to the gas prices. Please understand, Jesus is on the throne today, just like he was on the throne 2,000 years ago. Where's your heart? Does your heart think and dwell upon the things that are in heaven? Do you constantly see yourself going there and smelling the air? Oh, you've never smelt the air of heaven? I've thought about it in my mind. I've thought about that dinner layout that he's going to have at that supper. I thought about the "come up hither." I've thought about that day.
Amen.
Oh, no. No. See, there's no sin in heaven. I thought about the fruit trees there. I thought about the crystal sea. I thought about that river that proceeds forth out of the throne. I thought about getting to meet Moses and getting to meet David. Getting to meet Paul. I can't wait to meet Paul. I believe I'd like to spend a lot of time talking to him. But there's going to be a day, my friend. I'm asking you, where's your heart today? That's the treasure that you've got to offer your Savior. Your heart should be on the things of heaven. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Everything flows from it. Everything flows from your heart. Where's your heart? What are you going to offer? Where's your heart? Because there's going to be a day. Meeting all those people is wonderful, but there's going to be a day when I get to meet my Savior. And yes, the Bible talks about laying these crowns, but glory to God, the only thing I want to offer my Savior today is my heart. I want to offer him my heart. I want to offer him my heart. Because where my heart is, that's where my treasure is. I want him to have my heart. So that treasure is waiting for me when I get up there. Glory to God. I'm making time now. Because I've got a Savior, my friend, and you've got a Savior, my friend, that deserves your heart. He deserves that treasure. The only treasure you've got to offer, he deserves it. Because your works don't matter without your heart. They don't matter without your heart. Unless your heart's behind what you're doing for Christ, it doesn't matter. If you're doing them to look good, that's not what the Lord wants. He doesn't want you to look good. He wants your heart. When we offer that treasure, when we offer that treasure, the Lord's up in heaven smiling, saying, "I got your heart. I've got your heart. The rest takes care of itself." What do we have to offer Christ? One thing, and that's our heart. Let's lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt, where thieves can't break in and steal. They can't get in here and take your heart. Let's offer him the one thing we have. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to teach Sunday school class. Lord, please let me come to a place in my life, Lord, where I want to offer you my heart, where I want to give you everything I have, everything that I can give to you, Lord. It's all a symptom of where my heart is. Lord, help me to have my heart in the right place, thinking of things of heaven, thinking of you and your imminent return, thinking of you every step of the way. Oh God, help me to have a better heart. And help me to lay that at your feet and do with it what you will. Because where my treasure is, that's where my heart is. Lord, help us today to have a great day. Oh God, bless and anoint my pastor. Lord, let him preach with power from heaven today. We need you. Oh God, we need you. Please help us. Bless these people, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.